Hope y'all are doing well tonight. This is the floor show. I'm just kidding. Somebody asked if it was safe to sit in the front row. I said, well, I was hoping that Regina was going to be here tonight. No. No. Tonight I want to talk to you in the same vein that we've been talking the last several weeks about concepts that sometimes we misconstrue. And I'm not so sure that we misconstrue this one as much as just don't understand exactly. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse number 14, says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, ye that walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So first of all, he says, wake up. And then he says, with what time you have, redeem that time. Make it count. Make sure that you are purposeful in every moment that you have, every moment that you're spending, because the days are evil. So what you're doing matters. Isn't that interesting? That Paul's opinion and thought is not run and hide, but redeem the time. Not seclude yourself, but to be present in an occupational formation, because you have to redeem the time. You have to take back the time. You have to own it. You have to use it. What's it seem like we don't have enough of today? Am I the only one that feels that way? I remember when I was a younger man. You like how I said that, Miss Mary? Thank you for laughing so quickly. Makes me feel good. When I was a younger man, my dad used to always say to me, son, I don't know where the time has gone. And I thought about it the other day, and, you know, my father hasn't aged in my eyes in years. And I thought, my Lord, he's 71. Where has the time gone? And we just don't seem to have enough time. And yet Paul said that's the most important commodity that we have. Redeem it. Use it. Utilize it. Make the most of it. I didn't mean to stop here, but I just wanted to take that time. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wake up, O sleeper. Wherefore, verse number 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, again, he's talking in succession here. He is very clear. Understand what the will of the Lord is, verse 18. And, so, understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Conjunction. And, okay, so you can separate the concept of what we're going to talk about tonight as being the will of the Lord. It's understood that this is the will of the Lord. But in order to accomplish the will of the Lord, not only do you have to know it, but you have to be filled with the Spirit. Notice that. He says, knowing the will of the Lord, knowing what it is, and, conjunction, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So tonight what I want to talk about is being filled with the Spirit. Being Spirit-filled, the Spirit-filled life. There's a minister out in California who's made millions for himself and his foundation, for his ministry, with a product that line that he developed, a Bible called the Spirit-Filled Bible, the Spirit-Filled Life, where he talks about what it is to be Spirit-filled. And yet, it seems like still the church sometimes doesn't have a clue about what it means to be filled with the Spirit or to be Spirit-filled. But what Paul is saying here is don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be filled with the Spirit. So again, my belief system, my understanding of proper writing, grammar, is that what the apostle is trying to tell us is that in order to accomplish what God has placed in our hearts to do. How many of you believe that you have a destiny? How many of you believe that you have been called to occupy, to take what's yours, to accomplish? How many of you have a call on your life? And it doesn't mean that you were necessarily called to preach or to stand on the street and witness in that way, even though that's a great thing and I don't have a problem with that. But you have a call on your life to do something. And so what he's saying here is that when you know what the will of the Lord is for your life, in order to accomplish it, because the days are so evil, because there's something in the world that is trying to suck our time away. You know what I'm talking about. Trying to take our time away from us. Trying to steal. That's what the Bible also talks about. That the enemy is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, walking around, killing, stealing, destroying. And so, in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish, we have to be filled with the Spirit. And we have preached and thought and come up with a lot of different concoctions and formulas and ideas and algebraic equations to say, okay, this is what being Spirit-filled is. I got another one for you. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. What is it to be Spirit-filled? What it is to be filled with the Spirit. We think, well, if you speak in tongues, that's Spirit-filled, right? Well, if you do this, you're Spirit-filled. Well, if you act like this, you're Spirit-filled. Well, if the preacher lays his hand on you and you pass out, well, you must be filled with the Spirit. Well, if you dance in the Spirit, then you must be filled. What is being filled with the Spirit? And how do you get filled with the Spirit? Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things and to God and for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. So I want to talk to you about these few points in here. I want to go through a couple other scriptures. And I want to start with a quote that's not from the Bible tonight. I want to start with a quote from a man named C.S. Lewis. Anyone ever heard of C.S. Lewis? He said this, God does not want something from us. He simply wants us. God does not want something from us. He simply wants us. And I thought that was a really interesting thought. Because honestly, what have we been programmed to believe? Just like Pavlov's dogs, we have been taught to act, to do whatever we need to do upon command in order to please God and to please man and to please the church and to please our spouse and to please each other, when in reality God says, that's not exactly what I'm looking for. Instead, I want you. And then out of the relationship that I build with you will flow the other things. What I mean by that is, out of my relationship with my wife, because I have a relationship with my wife, because I love her, because I care about her, it comes to me naturally to say, I'm not going to do this. I don't have to have a list in front of me saying, I can't do that. Oh, Lord, please help me. Don't do that. Lord, please help me not to do that. You understand what I mean? Because it's out of the relationship that I have developed with her that I understand it's not because I can't, but why do I want to? It's out of relationship that our actions are formed. It's out of the relationship of our hearts that we understand who we are. Until we have a relationship with the one who created us, how can we even understand what we were created for? And that's the problem. Some of us are running around trying to understand what the will of God is for our lives when we're not even having a relationship with Him. We're doing a lot of talk about Him. We sing about Him. We think about Him. We pray to Him. But we don't have a relationship with Him. Because if we had a relationship with Him, there would be something different going on in the inside of us. He says, do you understand what I'm saying? Because God doesn't want something from us. He wants us. So when he says here to be filled with the Spirit, I have to believe that there's something more than just an action. There's something more than just a one-time experience. There's something more than just the preacher laying his hand on my head or one of the saints getting up close to me and praying with me and believing for a supernatural experience, even though I believe in all that because I have experienced all those things. So you have to understand, I am not a doubter or a hater. But there has to be something more out of which the relationship that I develop with Him causes to flow out of me the response that He's looking for. Because out of the love and the relationship that I have with my wife, then it is easy for me to look at her and say, I love you. I don't have to scratch it off my to-do list. Do you understand what I'm saying? And some of us still have on our to-do list, pray. Some of us still have on our to-do list, read your word today. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that because, you know, we have to get in habits. But what I'm trying to say is, where is that relationship? Where is that depth that he's talking about with us? Where is that he has us, not just us doing things for him? So when he says to be filled with the Spirit, I think it's really interesting to look here at some of the words and some of the phrases that he says directly after that. In verse number 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, he shows us one of the ways to be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We had to have a revolutionary faith movement to teach us that. Do you understand what I'm saying? We had to have some man in Oklahoma travel all across the world to tell us that when Paul said it. Speaking to yourself. They're going to think I'm crazy. Does it really matter? They think you're crazy already. They just say it behind your back. When you start talking to yourself, then they're going to say it in front of your face. But that's one of the ways that we continue to be filled with the Spirit. We look at our circumstances, we look at our issues, and we don't stand for what they appear to be. But instead, we look at them and we declare, based upon what we understand the Word of God to say and who God is in our lives and what our relationship with Him is. And we begin to declare what God's will is in my life. And we begin to declare His Word over our life. Well, you know, this is going a little bit too far. I really don't think that will work. Well, is everything that you've tried so far worked? Why don't you just give it a shot? Will you just give it a shot? Maybe try it for 30 days and see. You'll have a money-back guarantee. I don't know what else to say. Can we give it a shot? But he says, be filled with the Spirit. And part of the overflow, part of the outflow of the Spirit is that you will find yourself. I'll never forget. I'm telling you what, no matter how many heart attacks, no matter how many health problems, no matter what she was going through, no matter how down she'd be or how frustrated she'd be, my grandma would be sitting at the kitchen, be washing dishes in her 60s and 70s and 80s, be sitting standing in the kitchen washing dishes, and all of a sudden you'd hear her begin to erupt. I mean, it was without question. The question was, which one was she going to sing? But she'd start singing. And she starts singing, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. You know what I'm talking about? Because of the relationship that she had, it just came out. It was just something that overflowed out of her life because she was filled with the Spirit and she kept that going. She kept it going. So that's part of what we need to do. We need to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, I can't sing. It doesn't matter. This is something that He is asking from us because it speaks to our relationship with Him. Verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know how to tell that somebody doesn't have a relationship with what they're dealing with or what they're going through or pretty much anybody? You listen to what they complain about. Because somebody that is lacking relationship, that is lacking a foundational relationship with anybody, anything, or with God Himself, is somebody that just can't find anything to be happy about. There is always something that could be better. The grass is always greener. But yet there's something about the child of God who is able to say, you know what, it may not look like this is the best circumstance for me to be in, but it doesn't matter. This is where God has me today. And I'm just going to make myself and everybody that lives with me and everybody that I come in contact miserable if all I do is harp and complain. So why don't I look at what's going on in my life? I mean, can I always change my circumstance? Not always. Sometimes I got to ride the wave. Sometimes I got to get through it. You know, that's why he wrote the scripture and it came to pass. Because I got to get through it. Some things in our lives come to pass. But we have to find some way to be in a posture of thanksgiving. And so he said another identifying factor about somebody who is filled with the Spirit is somebody who is consistently thankful and consistently glad for what God has done in their life. Wow. That's powerful. That is truly powerful. Verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another and in the fear of God. The last point that I wanted to make in this section was that not only do I burst out singing faith songs to myself, talking to my situation, not only am I thankful for what God has done, and I'm not looking just at the things that are going wrong, but I'm looking at what could have gone wrong, but for God. And I'm giving thanks for what I have. I love to read some of Takiyah's posts because she writes in there. She says, you know what? I got this and I got this. I think you just wrote one last night, didn't you? I got this and I got this and I got this. And man, that's good. I'm thankful. I have a heart of gratitude. And when you're able to do that, it's something powerful in it. But he also says that when you're filled with the Spirit, you have the ability and the desire to submit yourself one to another. Oh. Now, I could handle the singing, Pastor. And I mean, come on, I do go to Cornerstone. That's all, it seems like all we do. And I could handle the Thanksgiving part and the heart of gratitude, but do I really have to submit myself to somebody else? Do I really have to swallow my pride and be honest and upfront with somebody else? Do I really have to let down my walls? You don't know how many times I've been hurt. You don't know how many times I've been ratted on. You don't know how many times they've come against me. You don't know how many times that they've mistreated me and misused me. I understand that. I'm not saying be unwise, but I'm just reading to you the scripture. I'm not trying to give you advice. I'm just reading to you the scripture. It says that to be filled with the Spirit, one of the demonstrations of it is to be willing and able to submit ourselves one to another. So if you've got an issue with me, I should be able to listen to what you have to say without bowing up. Well, you think I got a problem? Well, let me tell you something about you. Oh, really? I can't tell anybody in my business. Well, then maybe you ought to change some of your business. Just a thought. Just an idea. One of my rules always at work when I manage the offices, and I would tell the employees plainly, I would say, you can lock a drawer if you want. But understand, I have a key to that drawer, and understand the federal government owns that drawer. I don't own the stuff in it. You can put your stuff in there. But let me just make things easier for you and me. If you don't want me to know what you're doing, don't bring it to work. If you don't want me to see something, don't put it in a place where I can see it. Or better yet, just don't be doing it. I mean, that makes sense to me, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. That just made sense to me. And so when we're submitting ourselves to one another, it's easier to do it when we have clean consciences. It's easier to do it when we're free of those things. But at the same time, there's also something freeing when we're able to open up and just be honest with each other. Submit yourselves one to another. Submission is not just talking about the dirt and the bad things, but it's also submitting yourself saying, I want to love you and to help you. Will you help me be accountable to you to do that? It's a healthy thing. So that's part of being filled with the Spirit. Did you know that being filled with the Spirit included some of these things? It's pretty interesting, pretty cool that Paul chooses these ideas and these thoughts to bring out when he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. He didn't bring out dancing with a tambourine. Well, maybe if that's what you're doing in verse 19. But for the most part, do you understand what I'm saying? When what we equate to being filled with the Spirit is not entirely what Paul was equating to being filled with the Spirit. What he was equating to being filled with the Spirit was the concept of relationship. The concept of I lose part of my right to be who I am so because I have become Christ. Because I have laid down my life even as Christ laid down his life, and I have taken up his cross to follow him. But we talked about that a few weeks ago. I won't hit that anymore. Another part that I wanted to talk about goes back to God doesn't want something from us. He wants us from C.S. Lewis. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." This is the idea that we should come as we are to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 carries on that idea. Don't just use the Old Testament, let's use the New Testament as well. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." To be filled with the Spirit, how do we become filled with the Spirit? How do we accept the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit? When he talks about it here, it's very clear the before and the after. The before is we were a wreck. The before is we were unworthy. We were unacceptable in the sight of most folks. And the after is, look what God did. But isn't it interesting that in a lot of times in our minds, we think that we have to prepare ourselves for God? Let me give you an example. A couple examples. Number one, I know you all are going to really think I'm crazy. But growing up in church, I used to think God had a waiting period. You know, like you have to have a waiting period to get a gun. If you did something stupid, I thought God had a waiting period where he couldn't hear your prayers for a few days until he got over his anger and frustration with me or with you or whomever. And then he could hear me again. Anybody ever thought anything silly like that? I really did. I thought that I had to somehow work out my issues and make myself worthy for him. I thought that I had to do something to be acceptable in his sight. I thought that there was a requirement on my part to become what he was expecting me to become. Can anybody else relate to that? Do you understand what I'm saying? That I thought that, now don't get me wrong, there is a correct way to live. I'm not saying that, but again, that the right way to live flows out of relationship. And I thought that it was my list of do's and don'ts, it was my prioritized list of what was sin and what wasn't sin that separated me from God, when in reality, it was my stinking thinking, my misunderstanding that he doesn't want anything from me, he just wants me. And because we had perverted grace so much to the point that no one was worthy, no one could receive Christ, no one had the ability to work hard enough to be ready enough, to be able enough, to be part of his kingdom. Do you understand what I mean? So we had to put on masks to pretend that we were. Anybody come from a church where you had to wear a mask? And so it was our expectation that at any moment that mask would be pulled off and we would be outed for who we really were, when in reality on the inside our spirit man cried out for the relationship with the one who doesn't require that from us. He doesn't require an action on my part except that I accept Him. Except that I say to Him, I need You. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. And we've got all these lists of things that you got to do and these hoops that you have to jump through before you can join the church and before you can have Christ in your heart. And He says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I still listen to my relatives who are still part of that old thinking. And I had when my uncle died a couple years ago, I had walked through him with the prayer of salvation. He had asked me to come and baptize him, 80 years old, grew up in a Pentecostal home, never been baptized before. And I had the honor of baptizing that man at 80 years old as he knew he was laying dying. And we talked about his preparedness and how he had his soul ready and how he was A-okay. Everything was right. Everything was good. Because he had made everything right with his Savior. And I'll never forget, one of my relatives came up to me and said, well, I hope he made everything right before he left. It was everything in me not to reach up and snatch them and say, who do you think you are? But I remembered that was our thinking. That was our mentality. Because filled with the Spirit was you have to dance. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to pretend. What is filled with the Spirit? A few years ago, I brought a new song to the church. And I really liked it. Really liked it. Because there's something emotional about it and something moving about it. But what I didn't understand at the time was that it spoke to our base emotion. It wasn't speaking to our spirit man. It was speaking to our base emotion. But boy, it really could move the congregation. I don't know if you understand this about me, but I am so careful about the theology that we preach in our songs. We are really careful because our theology that we sing, because we're singing spiritual songs to the Lord, has to line up with what's being preached and with what we believe. So we are really, really careful in some of those songs that we bring. And so Pastor Mark came to me and he said, I really don't want to do that song anymore. And, me being the kind, humble servant that I am, said, what you talking about? What? Huh? Ain't nothing wrong with that song. Don't you see how it moves the people? Don't you see how it blesses them and touches their hearts? And don't you see how it ministers to them? No, 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 no. But out of respect for him, I said, well, he's losing it. Okay, I'll listen to him. All right, fine. All right. So I put it away. But something, it always stuck with me that bothered him. He said, it twists in my spirit when we sing that. And the words that twisted in him when we would sing it was empty me. It's just a quick chorus where it says, empty me, empty me. And then you say, fill me up, Lord. Lord, fill me up, Lord. And so it's just talking about the concept of emptying yourself out of yourself and allowing God to fill you up. And I mean, hey, that'll preach. If you preached it the right way with the right spin on it, I'm telling you what, people would jump up and down and get in the altars and scream and holler. I mean, we could have us a time. But there was something about it that just didn't sit right with him. And so in the last few weeks, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I've been trying to understand it. And over the past about a week and a half, when the Lord began to speak to me about this message, I was starting to hear it, and I began to see something and understand it. And he brought back an idea, something that I saw in the last, probably in the last couple months, and some of you may have seen it too. If you have, great, but there's just something powerful about an illustration. I could tell you about it, but if you see it, I think it'll be a little bit more beneficial to you. So without further ado, I want to talk about this, and I want to explain with this the idea and the concept of being filled with the Spirit. Again, our idea is that we have to do something about it, that we have to empty ourselves. One of the things that Pastor and I both, but Pastor brought it, we preached about it, was that in order for God to magnify, for Him to be exalted, He says, I must increase and you must decrease. That's the formula. Not you must decrease and then I'll increase. Right? I mean, it makes more sense in our brain. Well, I have to decrease to make room for Him, right? He says, I can make room for myself all by myself. I don't need your help. But in our mind, we think, no, I got to help you, Lord. I'm just a humble servant. I'm just here. Come on, Miss Regina. We just got to help the Lord. Isn't that what, isn't that what we're all about? Hallelujah. I'm just here to help Jesus. I'm being funny, but in reality, that's sometimes the way we are. I'm guilty. If nobody else is, I'm preaching to myself. So when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we think in our minds that I have prepped myself for surgery. That when I'm being filled with His goodness, that I have removed all of the bad. I mean, let's think about it. Don't we really believe that sometimes? That somehow we have had some kind of benefit, some kind of action in this, that we have had some kind of part in it, that we are preparing His temple. And that's why I'm telling you there are some things in our life that are cattywampus, that are cockeyed, that are not straightened out, because we don't have the formula correct. We still think that there's something that we have to do to prepare ourselves for the indwelling, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That there's something we have to do before He will move on the scene. That there's something we have to do before He's going to show up in our lives. That there's something that He is waiting on us to fulfill something. When in reality He says, I just want you. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why do we make it so complicated? Because we need something to do most of the time. Isn't that about it? Because we need something to do. Because we think we need to be part of the process. When in reality what He says is, I just want you in my relationship. I don't need you to clean it up. I just need you to be thankful once it's cleaned up. We think I need to be part of this. I need to help fix it. He says, I don't want your help fixing it. I just want you to submit to somebody else once it's fixed. Ooh. He says, But God, don't you need my help? I just want to do something. He said, I don't need you to do something. But hey, when it's all said and done, why don't you sing a song about what I've done? Why don't you give some joy to somebody else about what I've done? Why don't you strengthen yourself after the fact instead of trying to do something beforehand? Because I don't need your help. I can be God all by myself. Oh my Lord. So, the idea and the concept is that we take our lives, and let me tell you, this is a waste of something really good, but I'm willing to sacrifice. We take what He's given us that is pure, what's holy, the spirits that of ourselves, our spirit man that comes from Him directly, that is pure, that is without sin, and we decide to do whatever we've been doing. And we decide to act however we've been acting, whether it's an attitude or... Now, I know some people would think this is a sin right here. Taking some of this and mixing it in here too. And that's a waste of a good drink right there. And by the time we finally figure out that we can't any longer, run ourselves the way we used to, and we can't any longer face what we used to face, and we can't any longer take any more of what we used to take, and we can't any longer be satisfied with what we used to be satisfied with. That purity that He created us, because we're created in His image. We're made in His likeness. The breath of God was deposited into our lives just as He deposited into Adam's. But over the course of time, we find ways to do whatever we do to it. And sure, I mean, think about it. Let's try it. Let me try and empty some of this out and say, okay, Holy Ghost, why don't you? That's as good as I can do. I empty some out, but won't you fill me up and still look at all the dregs that He got off the bottom, and it doesn't matter what I empty out, there's still something left of what He needs to deal with. I can't deal with it myself. And He says, why don't you be filled with My Spirit? He says, why don't you allow Me to do My job? Why don't you allow Me to do what I am best at? Why don't you allow Me to do what I need to do? I mean, anybody want to drink it like this? And so along He comes. And we finally give up. And we finally say, all right, God, I've tried. I've poured out. I've tried to let You fill me up. I've poured out. I've tried to let You fill me up. I've tried everything I can think of. And He says, just hang on. And He begins to overflow. And He begins to pour out. And He begins to move. And He begins to deal with us. And He begins to speak to the recesses of our mind. He begins to speak to the carnal character that we have given ourselves over to. No, you may not see it, but there's still a lot of floaties in there. And we still need to keep going a little bit more. We still need to be filled with His Spirit. You see, being filled with His Spirit is not a one and done. Being filled with His Spirit is not just a great Sunday evening event. It's not just a one I got laid out on the floor and it's over. He says, no, I want to fill you with My Spirit today. I want to fill you with My Spirit tomorrow. I want to do something powerful in you. I want to do something amazing in you. I want to do something that only I can do in you. I want to do something that is unheard of in your family. I want to do something that no one on your job has ever seen before. I want to do something that you have never even imagined, because My ways are higher than your ways, and My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you say, but God, don't you need My help? He says, I've been doing this for a long time, son. I've been doing this for a long time, daughter. I think I can handle what you've got to throw at me. I think I can take care of what you are doing. I think I've got things under control. Because what you need is not more of you. Did you hear what I said? Being filled with the Spirit is not being filled with more of us. Being filled with the Spirit is not more reliance on who we are. And in our minds, we cannot understand, we cannot fathom how that through His power and through His love, as He continues to pour into us, we cannot fathom, we cannot understand. It doesn't make any sense how that through His ability and His character and His power, He can take what was wrong and make it right. It doesn't fit. It doesn't seem like it would be possible. It doesn't seem like there would be any way. It doesn't seem like that we could still at any point be back to what we were. And yet He says, if you will allow Me, the One that created you, to fill you up with My Spirit. The concept and the understanding of being filled with the Spirit is letting your hand off the throttle. Taking your hand off the wheel and saying, all right, God, You fill me up. All right, God, I understand now. You don't need me to decrease. You don't need me to do a thing. You need me to sit back and be quiet. You need me to shut up. You need me to close my mouth. You need me to stop trying because I tried so hard all these years. And instead, You need to pour into me over and over and over and over and over and over, because He is the only One who is able. Woo. What is being filled with the Spirit? What is being filled with the Spirit? Well, it's me cleaning out my closet and then letting Him in. No, He says, bring your closet to Me. You ain't got nothing I've never seen before. You don't have anything that scares Me. You don't have any monsters under the bed that I haven't wrestled already. You don't have anything that I can't handle. He says, you see, just allow Me to pour into you. Yeah, it might take more than a day, but isn't that what a relationship is about? Yeah, it might take more than a week, but isn't that why we walk this out? It might take more than a month, but again, we're in this for the long haul. But He says at the end of the day, He said, will I not keep My promise that what was scarlet and crimson, I will make white as snow? Though your sins were despicable, though you yourself was a mess, though you were completely trashed in your mind, though no one would have you, though you weren't even right in your mind anymore, you were crazy and certifiable. Listen, I am able to do what you can't do. God, I don't want to decrease. I need You to increase. Because when You increase, You push everything out of the way. You cause every imperfection to flee in Your name. You cause every bit of darkness to be cast out by Your light. Might surprise you to know, I don't taste anything but water. That's the truth. Just a illustration. Just a picture of what He does. What is the infilling of the Holy Spirit? It is a work that He alone is able, worthy to perform. I can't do it. I have no ability. I have no power. I have nothing to offer Him. And He says, I'm okay with that. Because I just want You. Can we worship for a moment? To help us understand, to help us grow in our knowledge of you, to help us seek you in a greater way. Father, remind us that it's not our works that you're looking for, that it's not our good deeds, but you want us. You want that relationship with us. You want that heart to be focused on you. You want a people who embrace you, who seek after your face, who desire you to move in their midst.
It's not about me. That is the sovereignty of God. It was a sovereign act.